Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
As they were bringing us in, they showed a shot of the East River, and one of the bars in the song said something about Malibu at the same time they were showing a shot of the East River. And I said, well, that ain't Malibu.
Look, nothing like Malibu.
They ain't even close to it.
Listen, first of all, L.A. is a great place, and there are a lot of underrated things about L.A., but I'm going to say this. This is going to be controversial with Keyshawn Johnson. Ready? The beaches are a little overrated in L.A. The beaches are one of the most overrated things. The food is underrated. A lot of stuff is underrated in L.A.
You might be going to – you said it's overrated, but you might be going to the wrong beaches, though, Max.
I'm talking about Malibu,
the
though.
Like, cold, man.
What's see, awesome
Malibu
is there's a beach there.
Malibu is a stretch, though, right? Malibu is such a long stretch. And you probably are not going to the best beaches in Malibu.
That's very possible.
You're only going to where the shops are and the restaurants. So if you go further down past where Jay's house is at, then you'll see the cleaner sand because nobody goes down there.
Oh, he's saying but you're on the wrong side of the tracks, Jay.
Yes, I'm noticing.
No, I'm just saying. No, I said Jay as in Jay-Z, not Jay.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I'm messing with you.
See, but my problem is once you've been down to Miami, like once you go down to the Caribbean, I don't care what coast you look at. You could look at Malibu. Oh, you could look at East Coast. I ain't messing with none of that. Hey, take me down to that bathwater, Key.
Oh, yeah, you go down to the – you're talking about the Caribbean Sea.
I'm talking about the beach. That's a beach to me. Yeah.
But the Caribbean Sea is crazy because the water is like 80 degrees.
That's what I'm saying.
You could pull a beach chair into the ocean and have and be like submerged up to your chest.
That's the only water I'm getting in, though.
Facts.
Yeah.
And when I get in it, it has to come up to my knees. Mm-hmm. Anything past my knees, I'm getting out. That's it.
Key, you got to go to the beach where you can walk out a mile and the water is still at the knees.
That's what I like.
I can see the bottom.
So when you go to the Caribbean, you're not going Atlantic Ocean side. You're going Caribbean seaside.
That's that stupid blue water, warm.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. DR, the whole thing.
Just relax.
And I don't have to worry about falling down 100 feet in the ocean. No, I don't. Yeah. I want to be able to see my toes.
I like looking out into a steely gray ocean with freezing cold water and the threat of great white sharks everywhere. That's what I like.
Seems appetizing.
Yeah, that's those are the beaches I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Look, can we get into this taunting call late in the Eagles and Bucks game that took some – because Jay, the reason, Key, I want to get into this, Jay came in on fire about this morning.
Well, just as a fan – first off, the taunting calls are just stupid in general. And I don't know why the NFL this year has decided to emphasize on it more. But as it pertains to last night game in particular, as a fan, when you're watching a team like the Eagles make a run at it, and then you see, okay, first and 10, Leonard Fournette tries to jump to the outside. Avery comes in from the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles, knocks him out of bounds. They get a big stop. It's a big stop. So now you're saying, okay, second and 9 or second and 10, whatever it may be, you feel the momentum going in the Eagles' favor. Leonard Fournette gets up. He bumps into Avery. Avery's just standing there. He got a big white mouthpiece in his mouth. I don't know if he's barking or not. And then the referee just throws the flag. And you're sitting there saying, what are you throwing the flag for? Like, that's not real taunting. I've seen real taunting before in life. I've seen dudes talk trash, come up to you, step over you, do absurd things. That's not a real taunting flag call. And then it's a 15-yard penalty.
That's nuts.
And then I watch Tampa Bay just mosey on down the field, Key.
Yeah.
They get into that red zone territory. They take three knees. The game is over. And I'm just sitting there saying, man, like, why is the NFL ruining games for me? I hate that.
Yeah, that wasn't a great call. But, I don't know, just based on the bump, that doesn't warrant a flag or whatever the case is. Him saying something like whatever, that doesn't warrant a flag. As long as he didn't use abusive language and things of that nature, because we don't know. We assume the flag was thrown because of the bump. He didn't look like he said – it didn't look like his mouth was moving. He had the big white mouthpiece in. But we're here. They're there.
Key,
I don't know why
the flag was like 10 yards away.
Yeah, see, I don't.
Boom.
Let's just assume it's for the chest bump. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that don't even make any sense.
But you know what else? I hate the rule, period. Let me tell you why I hate
the rule. The ref
is
behind. Look, the ref is behind
the play. For something that has nothing to do with the play on the field, really, It's not like in basketball, something like that can happen. You get to shoot a free throw and you get the ball. That's a big thing, but it's not going to usually determine the outcome of a game. 15 yards and a first down can absolutely determine the outcome of a game. For what, Keith? It's nothing that happened on the field of play, really.
Changed the entire complexity of a game.
I hate it.
And the Eagles actually had an opportunity to maybe get the ball back if they stopped them, and then all of a sudden go down the field, score, game, set, and match. But
exactly.
You know how it is. The referees, they're human, I guess.
Five minutes left in the fourth quarter. I won't criticize them
because I don't want to get fined.
Let me give you an example of a penalty. I don't like penalizing players for things that didn't happen in the play, just for their behavior outside the scope of the play. But let's say you want that in there to encourage behavior that you want. 5 yards, no automatic first down. That's actually that's like a free throw. That's not a small thing, but it's not going to change the game. It's just going to hurt you a little bit. 15 yards. What is, like, think of how many times you're watching a game. It's third down. They're about to have to punt, something like that. And then a ref makes a call, and all of a sudden the whole complexity of the game has changed.
I just don't understand, why the NFL makes this such an emphasis on trash. Trash talking is a part of sports. Like, I played in sports. I watched sports as a fan. There's nothing more I love than seeing a player get animated and bark back at somebody or let them know that, hey, I'm flexing on you because I just made a spectacular play.
Yeah.
That's what sports is, Key.
Well,
like, why I feel like we grew up with sports being that way?
But the NFL, you know how the NFL is, man. They like a certain image.
Come on, man. So AI stepping over Ty Lue. Throw a flag on that. Give him a tech for that. For stepping over him, looking back at him. That's a flag,
If AI did that in football, they would have threw a flag.
That's correct. Get out of here with that, man.
I agree. But there are people that don't want to see that spend a lot of money on sponsorships in the NFL that have a certain view about people having fun and conversating. And they wanted to put an emphasis on it this year in the preseason. But clearly it's carried into the regular season. And I'm sure that they'll be having some conversations on Park Avenue in the league office, if they haven't already, about what they saw last night and why they need to clean that up from the referee standpoint and not nitpicking too much.
Let's listen to let's hear from Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, at the postgame presser.
We didn't execute early on. We got to put the guys in better spots to execute. We didn't execute, and we just got to do a better job to start off the football game, to get ourselves off to a fast start. I know we scored on the first possession, but after that, it fluttered all the way till the second half, middle of the second half. So, get to adjustments even quicker, and make sure that we're doing our job as coaches to put them in good positions.
Yes, Nick, you're supposed to put your players in good positions. You know how you do that? You give more than one carry to Miles Sanders.
I don't understand it.
You give more than one target to Miles Sanders. Your team, one of your team's top players. That's how you put your team in a position where they can stay in the game. My mind was blown watching. Look, I am a Giants fan. I pay attention to the NFC East like crazy.
Same.
So you start seeing the fact that, hey, this division seems open at the beginning of the year. Okay, Dallas is the real deal. They're a cut above everybody else. Like, who could be in that next tier? And then I'm watching the talent on the field of the Eagles. I'm saying, Miles Sanders is a beast, man. As a Giants fan, I'm sitting there saying, I'm kind of happy they don't give this dude the ball because maybe that means there's a chance we can beat them when we play them. But I don't understand how you don't give him more carries, Key. What am I missing here?
Well, I think they probably saw something from an offensive standpoint that felt like Jalen Hurts doing what he was doing gave him the best chance to win.
How do you not use Miles Sanders to help Jalen Hurts, though?
Coaches sometimes, man, they got their own philosophies. And you think about late in the game when they were on the inch line. Y'all probably was asleep at this time, but they were on the inch line. Mm-hmm. Like, really on the inch line and first and goal. Guess what they did? They dropped back and shotgun. So I was like, seriously? Like, who? But you can see it coming. Like, I just didn't get it. It just didn't make sense to me. The interception, Jalen Hurts' interception, that wasn't on Jalen Hurts. That was on Watkins, the wide receiver. He did not run through. He tried to make a highlight reel catch instead of running through. Dean chased it down and went and got the interception. We credit that to Jalen Hurts from a record standpoint, recording standpoint. I don't. I know that that wasn't his fault. They had a chance to win the game, but in the end, the better team won.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. College football is heating up. Tune in tomorrow as LSU hosts Florida, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Is Patrick Mahomes still the best quarterback in the NFL?
Absolutely he is. I mean, you understand, when you have a defense that's given up a historically bad 7 yards per play, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's just crazy bad.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Bart Scott ranked
Max.
What's up?
I was going to say, Max, they should just trade Patrick Mahomes, huh?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Just trade him.
He's not even going to have 5,000 yards passing at this pace.
Trade him to Detroit.
Keith, that's a fun game. Let's just go through all the quarterbacks in the NFL, and I'll just say, would you trade this guy for Patrick Mahomes or Patrick Mahomes for this guy right now?
There's only one dude I'd trade Patrick Mahomes for because he's younger and cheaper. Know if I would.
Justin Herbert.
In the end, I would not trade Mahomes for anybody.
Stop making it all about money all the time.
Isn't it though? In the end, I would not. I couldn't bring myself to trade Patrick Mahomes for anyone.
If you're Patrick Mahomes and you're watching,
that was a quick game.
If you're Patrick Mahomes and you're watching a Cleveland Browns play, and you're like, man, you can't find a way to get OBJ working, please send him this way, Key. Please bring him over here. Bring him to Kansas City.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Can you imagine what that would be?
No, don't do that. Can he play defense? Yeah, that's really what they need.
They sending him to Kansas City, but Cleveland not going to do that. Cleveland would be foolish to do that.
I hear you.
They should send him back to the Giants.
Or I'll give you a team. Baltimore.
In the division, not going to happen.
Yeah, not going
to
happen.
Send him back to the Giants.
Evan Keel, never
gonna
so quick.
No, he's right. Never going to happen. An idiotic idea. He's right. They're never going to trade him in the division.
Send him back. Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
Max.
Send him to the Giants. They're not a threat.
Hey, Max, when you said that, I didn't even want to comment.
Yeah. Evan's right. Idiotic.
Evan just moved on so quick.
Send him to the Giants.
Yeah.
Send him to the Giants. Send him back to the Giants.
Bury him where he's not going to hurt you. Yeah.
Dave Gettleman would be fired. Send him back to the Giants.
For whom?
For some picks.
Who's a quarterback, not in the AFC North, that needs a dynamic receiver? Who's like just that's why I went Lamar Jackson first, although they have Bateman.
Who's not in the AFC North?
Who needs a dynamic receiver who's a good young quarterback?
I think you got to take him out of the AFC. I don't even think it's the division. I don't think they're going to trade him because they don't want to see him until the Super Bowl.
Let me say something about that, Evan. I know it's not exactly the same, but left tackle was needed in Kansas City. Baltimore traded him to left tackle. Like, you know, it can happen in the AFC.
No, it could, but people don't typically do it.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't.
I just don't think the Browns as a franchise can do that.
Who
like
needs
the Browns
receiver?
Can't go through
Chicago.
Odell Beckham Jr.
New
to
Orleans.
Get to
Chicago.
Chicago
can use him.
Chicago
can use him. New Orleans could use him with my nephew.
When's your nephew coming back, by the way?
I think Chicago would be a good fit for him.
Chicago would be interesting.
I love the non-answer.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good for him. Chicago would be really good for him. Him and Allen Robinson, yeah, for sure.
So Bart Scott ranked his top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL right now on GetUp. And Patrick Mahomes, we mentioned it earlier in the show, on pace to throw 48 touchdowns this season.
Ridiculous.
Was not in Bart Scott's top 5. Here is Bart's top 5. Number 5, Dak Prescott. Okay. Number 4, Aaron Rodgers. Little low for me, but okay. Number 3, Josh Allen. Number 2, Tom Brady. And the number 1 quarterback in football. Mahomes is not in the top 5. It's not Justin Herbert. It's not Matthew Stafford. It is Lamar Jackson. No Patrick Mahomes, though. Why not, Bart?
Mahomes came into a perfect situation. He came to a team that was ready to win now, so he doesn't know what adversity feels like, where, you know, Josh Allen has had the pain and agony of defeat. Lamar Jackson has. So this is commonplace for them. And, like, Lamar has been there, right? He's been scrutinized. He's been doubted. You know, this is new for Patrick Mahomes, and now he's going to have to learn how to evolve. And now the rest of the pack is catching up, and it's a little bit more difficult. And this team is starting to age a little bit, and their window is still open, but I think it's starting to close as other teams are getting younger, faster, and better.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Keith. I don't know if any windows closing. I don't know about all that. I think when you look at where the Chiefs are, a lot of their problems rely on the defense, which puts Patrick Mahomes in an uncompromising position, because then he starts to press and then he starts to try and take chances that worked out for him in the past that are just not working for him today. And once they get this defense fixed, I think the offense will start to click again and hit on all cylinders, because they just got a few games where they were pressing. I'm not worried about the Chiefs at all, to be honest with you. And I'm not certainly worried about Patrick Mahomes. There's not a quarterback in the NFL that, outside of maybe like Aaron Rodgers, but then you factor in the age and things of that nature, that you would trade Patrick Mahomes for. I mean, you're not trading Patrick Mahomes for any of these quarterbacks that is on his list. Not a one. Not one.
Key, don't you think, you know, it's funny because when I think about Patrick Mahomes, I think about Stephen Curry. And when Steph lost Klay, right, like Steph had to do so much more, right, because so much more weighed on him to do so, that people started to then pick apart Steph. Like, oh, maybe he's not this great. And obviously, when you see him at full strength, when he hits his stride, he is that player. Now I'm over here looking at Patrick Mahomes, and I'm saying, okay, like, even your receiving core, you got Travis Kelce, you got guys like Tyreek Hill, but after that, like, there's a pretty big drop-off.
Know who
there?
I think of when I think of Mahomes in basketball? I think of Michael Jordan, and let me tell you why. Football's never had an MJ, really. Like, Tom Brady is the GOAT, but the thing about MJ, saying you're the MJ of a sport just doesn't mean that you're the best you've ever seen. It means that you had the most talent to the eye, put up the stupidest numbers, and then also won the most, right? It's all those things. So Tom Brady got all these rings, but when you watch him, I've never thought, like, oh my God, that's incredible. I've never seen anything like that, right? That's more like Rodgers. Mahomes is like Rodgers, but he's winning right away in his career, a snap away from going to 3 straight Super Bowls, basically as soon as he touched the ball, right? Now, the thing about MJ is, it was really after his career, but Kobe came along, came pretty close. LeBron, like, the kind of world caught up to MJ. Not about him slipping, about people catching up. When I see Mahomes, I see a guy who used to be on a different level. To me, it was just him and Rodgers, right? Now I see, ooh, look at Lamar from the pocket. Oh, Justin Herbert, get him. I see these young quarterbacks coming into the league and closing the gap. Not anything that Mahomes isn't doing. Key to me, it's what other guys are doing.
Well, it is what other guys are doing, but Patrick Mahomes hasn't lost anything. These other guys, much like you say, well, Michael Jordan didn't lose anything. The other guys got better. They came into the league. That's the same thing. You got to think, Lamar Jackson is in his fourth year, right? His first year, he was a reserve. He came along, replaced Flacco. His second year, he wins the MVP. His third year, he has a little bit of a dip, but not significant. And now he's back to catching people by storm, because what you've seen is nationally televised games where he's just balling out, like ridiculously balling out. And so your mind tells you, oh, my God, he's really doing something different. He is, because he's gotten better in the pocket, but everything else that he's been doing has been the same. Patrick Mahomes has been the same since day one. He hit early. So all these projections for him was in a whole nother universe, a whole nother stratosphere. He's going to win 6 Super Bowls in 2 years. I always say 2 years, because people was acting like that's what was – they was just going to give him Super Bowls. And I kept telling everybody, Jay and y'all and on the shows, I'm like, dude, seriously? It's hard to win one damn game.
It ain't like
y'all
Tom
looking
Brady
at
makes
Tom
it look
Brady.
Deep.
Yeah. Y'all look at Tom Brady and go, well, Tom Brady did it.
But Key,
no, Tom Brady didn't do it.
Can we, I just want to bring up the point. I mean, they did lose Sammy Watkins, so you start looking at some of the depth in the wide receiver position.
That's
but
real.
Sammy wasn't really an important part.
But there was depth but there at was the depth position. There.
And yeah. I start looking at, like, look at Dallas' receiving core.
Depth.
Like, wow. Okay. Like
Bucks, depth.
Look at the Buffalo Bills, their receiving core. Like, there is depth there that goes into it. And I'm not saying I may butcher his first name. McCall Hartman? Right?
Mecole
Hartman. Like, I'm not saying he's not as talented, but you look at the depth there from that position, and you're like, it's
but
not
he hasn't
the same.
But he hasn't panned. Mecole Hartman hasn't panned out
yeah.
the way
that's
they
what I'm,
want.
You know what? That's exactly my point,
I think,
Keith.
Jay, your point is exactly
that's my
right.
Point.
When they lost Watkins,
but they still,
you're
okay. they still got Kelce. They still got
Tyreek Hill. And I hear
Tyreek
you on those
Hill,
two.
Most teams in a passing game only got two guys. And then the third guy is the third guy.
But you got that, but that's the difference, Key. The difference when you can rely on that third or fourth guy, like I was looking, it's funny. I was looking
yeah,
at
the Cole
Hartman
this year.
If you're
the third or the fourth guy, that's tough to rely on.
Oh,
Max.
Oh, I get it. I'm saying the Chiefs were so special
Wait,
in that way in recent
prime example
years.
Last night. I didn't hear us talk about Mike Evans last night, did we?
Yeah, right.
And then you
okay?
think about
you talk about Antonio Brown last night.
Yeah.
You talk about O.J. Howard last night. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you take away one option, there's two, three, four for certain teams.
But the thing is, though, O.J. Howard came and was always there. He came back to help because there's no Gronkowski. If Gronkowski was there, there would be no O.J. Howard. Kelce hasn't missed any time. Tyreek Hill hasn't missed any time. So you don't know what those backups look like because those dudes aren't getting off the field.
But a different,
they're not
but
taking
key.
Minutes away from
depth,
them.
Key. Yeah, wait, let's talk about, because tight ends are a little different, but let's talk about the receiving core. You bring up Mecole Hardman. I'm looking at Hardman to start the year. A lot to me was on his shoulders because of no Watkins. Now, they're a little thin there. Now, Key, of course, you're right. Like, really, that shows up if
but
there's
you
an
can't,
injury
but,
or something.
But you can't, Max, but, you cannot alleviate Kelce from the equation because he does so much for
no
this
doubt,
offense.
A lot of targets.
He's agreed, detached agreed. From this formation playing basically a receiver position.
Yeah.
He's in line playing a tight end position. So it's kind of like they got their two guys, right? Those are the two guys. They're not missing any minutes at all whatsoever.
Yeah, right.
So Key, I guess my point was defensively, it's like in basketball. If I take away option one and I slide my coverage even more to option two, like what's option three going to do? What's option four going to do? Like that's what I saw last night. I saw Tom Brady say, okay, Mike Evans isn't doing his thing. I got Antonio Brown. I got all these other options that can, you know, handle that load offensively.
We got to pay some bills, but Key's right. Like, usually that'll show up
we'll use your
with
credit card.
Injury. With injury, right? And they've been healthy. But, JD, your point, that when that – they've had depth in the recent past, and they were crazy good. And now they've lost the depth, and you can notice they lost the depth, and at the same time, these things are happening. It's an interesting correlation, at least.
Screenshot me that credit card so we can pay these bills, man.
Jay mentioned Tom Brady.
Don't act like you don't hear me.
Speaking of Brady.
Rich
come on,
guy.
Come on. Let's see the black card, Key. I know you got it.
It's the black
I know you
card
got
still
it.
In?
Is
it still
right? Is there a new thing?
Here we go.
Is there a new thing?
The Palladium card?
Yeah. Right
yeah,
here.
It's Palladium.
Black card.
Yeah.
Right here.
Speaking of Brady, somehow he's in the MVP conversation at the age of 44. A 44. A former teammate tells us what to make of another incredible start for the GOAT. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. We are thrilled to be joined by the great Chris Long, host of the Greenlight Podcast,
CL,
on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Chris.
What's the word, guys?
What's good, brother? How are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm good. Just hanging out. Work week pretty much over. I'm excited about the weekend. UVA homecoming. We're going to beat up on Duke.
Come on, man.
Two-time
Look at
Super
you
Bowl
already.
Champion, Chris Long. Chris, Tom Brady leads the NFL in passing attempts, completions, and yards, in spite of what some loudmouth on ESPN said about it falling off a cliff or something. What do you make of this start to this? He's 44 years old.
It's crazy, man. Honestly, I think it's funny that like the NFC South kind of hides this guy. We didn't watch him play Atlanta. I don't think a single person in America watched that game. And then, you know, he throws five touchdowns against Miami and we're all fixated on a bunch of other games. So we only really see him in prime time. And you know, in New England, if it was a 4 PM in Foxborough, it didn't matter. We'd all be watching. And so I think people are maybe a little bored with him, which is crazy. And I think the most impressive part is that they've been able to avoid the Super Bowl hangover to me, which reflects directly upon his leadership. In New England, the thing they were so good at wasn't just winning Super Bowls. It was showing up the next year and being sharp, and that's what they've done. Even with injuries, getting on the same page with Mike Evans after a year, the whole nine yards.
Chris, there's been so much debate around the ESPN walls and just everywhere about who the best quarterback in football is right now. Obviously, we made mention of Tom Brady, but who would you say is the best quarterback in football right now?
Well, I mean, my favorite is probably, you know, the guy that when he's on is the best, like his best is the best, is Josh Allen, in my opinion. Now, I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan, but I think the most valuable quarterback to his team, and so you can make the argument for best would be Lamar Jackson, because without Lamar Jackson, that team is the Patriots. And I'm not talking about the old Patriots. I'm talking about this year. You know, when you go out in the offseason, you get Villanueva is your offensive lineman addition. Latavius Murray is your backfield addition. And you don't have a number two receiver. And the defense is really more pedestrian than they've been in a few years now. The way they've won games, it's been all him. I mean, you're looking at a 4th-and-19 against Detroit. You're down multiple scores against the Colts. And they've made it interesting the entire year long, and it's not been Lamar's fault. I think he's the most valuable. Who's the best? Boy, Patrick Mahomes struggling has kind of opened that conversation up a little bit.
Howie Long joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J.
Or Howie Long's son.
Kyle
Long joining us this morning on the morning.
Thank you, Michael Thomas.
It's all in the family.
Hey, you know, when I was on the podcast the other day and I said, Kyle, I was like, wait a minute. I mean, Chris, hey. But I'll just go with it. And you didn't even say anything. You were just like, I know in your mind, you probably was like, this dummy.
No, I'm just a pro, though. Dude, hey, I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to be a pro, man. You know what the thing is? I struggle whenever two guys are playing in the same football family. I do struggle with it. One time, now, this was my fault, but they're twins. I walked into a nightclub, and I saw Jason McCourty, and I'm tight with Dev. And I dapped up Jason McCourty like it was Dev. And he pulled me in and he was like, you think I'm Devin, don't you? So it can happen, dude.
No,
football families are confusing.
No, it does happen. The Eagles lost last night to the Bucks, but Jalen Hurts had a decent game all the way around. He didn't throw for many yards, but he had three touchdowns, one in the air, two on the ground.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him thus far that makes you think that he's the answer for the Eagles at the quarterback spot?
Man, I think, I'll start with the good. I think when you talk to guys on that team, Keyshawn, it's like, hey, we love this guy, you know, and that's like the building block, right, for a leader, for a guy that if he can put it together on the field, they're going to follow. He's got it between the ears. He's tough. He can make plays with his legs. I think he'd make a lot of the throws. I just think he's having some trouble in certain situations where, you know, on the processing end, he's going from 0 to 100. You know, he's running towards the sideline last night, and he sees that he's about to take a sack for an 8-yard loss. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to burn the ball. And that's a good thought, but then he puts it in bounds and it's almost picked. Or, you know, at the end of the Carolina half, you have that lapse where you get a free play and you throw it and you hit the mascot instead of putting it in play. You know, I think he's just got to work on the little stuff. But you got to remember, he didn't have a real rookie year. You know, you had the pandemic, you had camp, preseason, all that was disjointed. So he's played 9 games, but it's barely been a typical 9 games.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of young quarterbacks, Justin Fields, whatever he's been doing or not doing, they've won since he's been in that lineup, right? Like, you know, he takes over and they win that game and he wins a couple games since then.
Oh, yeah.
How do you assess him so far as a quarterback in this early in his career?
I love the kid. I mean, this kid is kind of he's been the subject of a lot of like play Justin Fields talk, you know, because people like him, and I'm always hesitant because I'm like, well, if you like the kid, maybe you don't want to throw him in there playing for the Chicago Bears under Matt Nagy. Like, maybe that's not the best thing for his development.
That's what I thought.
But he's proved that he's way ahead of, I think, where even some people, you know, who like him thought he'd be. He hasn't had to make a ton of huge throws, but the ones he's made, a couple balls on the sideline last week, you know, with real zip on them, I got confidence in him. I really do. And he does changes the prospect of that Chicago team for me. You know, like, I was kind of writing them off, but if he can give them stability, they're going to be in that wild card race. I mean, their D-line is humming. Robert Quinn, you know, Khalil Mack, who everybody forgot about. But those guys can still play. I like that team now with Justin Fields.
Hey, Chris, since Duke is playing at UVA this weekend, you want to run back that half-court shot?
Man, you are just such a propaganda guy, bro. Hey, here's how it worked. And Keyshawn, you've seen the video. I'm sure he showed you. But I walked up. I said, what do I get if I hit this shot? He said, 10 grand. So I missed my shot. And then he takes his shot and makes it. Now, does that sound like a bet to you?
It felt like
no,
a bet to me.
But that's what Jay does. He always tries
that's
to spin stuff.
That's what Jay does, bro.
Yeah, you got to know his – that's that fake, slick Duke stuff.
Oh,
you gotta
there
watch
you
it.
Go.
Sounds
stuff,
like he lost a bet
man,
to Jay to me.
That's why we're going to wipe the floor with Duke this weekend. What do you want? You want the 10.5 points, Jay?
No, I would like the points. Yes, I would like the points.
Okay,
Chris.
You got the points. What are we putting on an appearance on each other's shows?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'll come on your show. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's the great Chris.
We're going to win by 21. So
I know you are.
Let's
I hate
just
you.
Book it.
I hate you.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, brother.
Thank y'all. Take
right,
it easy,
Chris.
Man.
/Howie/Kyle. All rolled into one.
Jay, you're just setting people up, aren't you?
What are you,
you
talking about?
It tells you everything. What are you talking about? His voice went up and everything. Is the timer about to go off for Baker in Cleveland?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Cliff Kingsbury decided in the offseason, we need to run the ball better. Now this offense is a little more portable. It can travel anywhere. I think it's a real concern for the Cleveland Browns in delivering the football to the right guy. The right guy is OBJ.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. Mm. Yeah, you know, like,
if
you see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, they are on the same page. But I got to be honest, I never thought Odell and Baker have been on the same page. Never. And I get Odell's frustration. He's like, look, if I'm not getting the ball, you want to say I'm double covered, they're bracketing me, whatever, well, then someone else is open. So he's not going to be happy if the ball, if the chains aren't moving and they're not scoring points and they're not winning.
But now, Max, a lot of times he's wide open.
Yeah, well, and you've seen it. Yeah, he's completely open and Baker misses him. We've been asking all morning, by the way, which NFL team needs to win most in week six. You know, one of those teams is the Browns, one would think. Anyway, Odell said this at the post-game presser. Listen.
I can't sit there and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you, every time I get up here, they don't pay James Harden for defense. You know what I mean? He's a shooter. Like I feel like I'm a shooter, you know? I know that I bring a lot of attention to defenses on the other end, and other people are going to be open. And, you know, you just got to live with that. The ultimate goal is to win the championship, and I feel like I'm in a great situation to do that.
Yeah, he you know, the frustration sets in because you want to help your team win. And when you're not given the opportunities and you know you can help them, it becomes frustrating and difficult. You say, Max, that they haven't been on the same page. Well, early on in Odell's Brown career with Baker Mayfield was being accused of locking on to Odell Beckham Jr. too long. And then they coincidentally, he gets hurt. The team starts to get on a roll. Baker Mayfield starts to look like a different quarterback. And now you go into this year, he comes back, and he's not getting the necessary targets as the alpha dog, long ranger of the receiver group without Landry in the lineup. He's not getting the same opportunities or the looks that you would think he deserves or he needs because other receivers that are the number one guys in this league are the number one targets for their teams are getting those looks from their quarterbacks and being able to help their team win football games. Justin Herbert is not looking at Keenan Allen or Mike Williams when the plays are designed and called. For whatever reason that is, Baker Mayfield is not doing that. I was at the game again last week when they played the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, and I went away from that game puzzled, but also understanding what Baker Mayfield might have been doing, which is I'm going to go away from Odell and not lock on to him in these situations because I don't want to be accused of these sort of things. And it's natural for things like that to seep into an individual's mind, especially if he continues to hear all the propaganda from the so-called experts on the television shows and the radio shows and trying to get into the mind of what OBJ and Baker Mayfield is doing. And at some point, it's human nature. You keep hearing over and over and over and over again that this is the reason why he's struggling at the quarterback spot. So naturally, he would say, you know what? I want to try to fix this by going to other people down the stretch against the Chargers. He didn't even look at him. And he was open multiple times. And I believe it ultimately cost them the football game.
Look, they need to get on the same page. Kevin Stefanski needs to find a way to get OBJ and Baker to be there because you have to think about the context of this too. Let's not forget that when Odell Beckham Jr. first got there, he was part of that Freddie Kitchens offense that was just an absolute horrific show. It was
Giants.
It was horrible, Key. Yes, on the Giants. Tell me about it. And then to go through a torn ACL, then to come back and find that rhythm. But Baker, at the end of the day, if Odell Beckham Jr. is that talent, I repeat, your best player needs to get the damn ball, especially Key, in crunch time. That's where guys like you, guys like Stephon Diggs, guys that are the best receivers in the game, you go to them because they make the incredible plays. Oh. That's what you need to see Baker do.
I want to take the shot. period.
Yes.
I want to give me the opportunity to pull the trigger. But if I'm not getting the opportunity, I can't help you. I'm only as good as many opportunities as I get. And it's not from a selfish standpoint. He's not coming from a selfish standpoint. He's coming from a, I need to help my damn team win. If I'm not getting the damn ball and we're losing, there's going to be a problem.
The Browns are built to win now. And here comes Mahomes, and here comes Lamar, these quarterbacks in the AFC. Here comes Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. By the way, here comes Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase, right? Baker Mayfield might want to think about him and Odell being a combination to help Baker get over the top, because they're going to need a little something extra in Cleveland. We'll react to the Browns and Cardinals much more on Monday morning.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.